This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
If Cassie said to you, let's drink each other's blood, I think that she would convince you to do it and you would do it happily.
No, I would not do it.
I think you would.
Definitely wouldn't do it.
You traveled to like Nova Scotia to get her brunch. If she asked you to drink her blood, I think you would do it.
What if we found out that
give you like a couple extra years in the back end? If you guaranteed me extra time at the end of my life if I drank blood, I'd be drinking 40s.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Hey, it's Rick DiPietro.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, I was hoping that that was captured. What happened there, my friend, with that little read?
Voice gave out.
It quit on you, right?
It quit on me. It said no mas.
No mas. Can we hear that again?
Man.
Do we have that isolated?
Hey, it's Rick DiPietro. I wanted to give Jack Pocket my best effort. Then the second I opened my mouth, I realized that's not going to happen. So I had to regroup.
Doesn't sound
I was
that
outside
good,
all day yesterday. My allergies are just destroying me right now.
You know what happened to me yesterday? We'll get to the Yankees in just a moment. This is terrifying. So I had the same thing. I'm at Ben's game, sitting outside, and just started coughing. But you can't just cough now, right? Because people now turn to you as if your head's on fire because they think that you have COVID. So I'm coughing, and I was like, I can't even get it out. I'm like, it's allergies. And they're like, yeah, sure. And people are leaning the other way.
All right, how about that?
That's nice.
That could be one of my favorites.
You ever sneeze in the supermarket now? Forget it.
No,
people will have a nervous breakdown.
I hold it in.
You probably do.
I do hold it in.
DPHRO Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. 1-800-919-3776. So, boy, that and I say it again. I said it earlier. The angry guy, what's his name? Nick in Babylon got all bent out of shape. I said the Yankees stole a win last night. I stand by that. They did not play all that well. The pitching was not great. They never led the entire game. But in the clutch, Aaron Judge, first ever walk-off home run. Yankees get out of Dodge with a big 6-5 victory.
Yeah, it's a huge win. And especially with the start, too, from Luis Severino.
Which was not great.
No. Yeah, he threw 65 pitches in the first two innings. To the point where, Aaron Boone says after the game he wasn't going to go get him. He was just going to kind of, gauge where he was at. But Severino's like, hell no. I'm going to figure it out. And he did. I give him credit. He battled through it. Ends up with 8 strikeouts. Keeps his team in it until they can finally find a way to get a hit. It's five hitless innings. Stanton, your two big guys come through. Stanton with the 3-run home run. And then Aaron Judge with the walk-off. I honestly don't know if there would be this is me personally, just with how much I grew up playing baseball, how much I love baseball, if it'd be anything better than a walk-off home run.
It's got to be amazing. The second you make contact and the ball starts flying and down two on, you hit one out, it's a game-winning home run, that has to be some feeling at that, the exact moment that the ball hits the bat, you know it's going to be gone.
The second you don't even feel it go off the bat, you just know that you perfectly squared it up.
It was right a perfect swing. It was a high pitch. It was right in his wheelhouse. Like it was scripted for Aaron Judge last night.
It was gorgeous.
And now you get right back at it, right? What do they play, 12:30 today?
I love it. Oh, no, I love
how good,
it.
How good is that?
It's like they knew the Rangers' schedule. And like, you know what, we're going to give you an afternoon game today.
Yeah, but the Mets did not. Mets play tonight.
That's fine. No, two is more doable.
Two
than
is manageable.
Three
becomes a lot to handle.
Yeah, two you can do. Mostly you throw a third in there, and then that's now someone's trying to figure out what to do. It's not the easiest.
I don't want to say bury because I don't think we're there. But you're the Yankees. You win this game today. You start to put a little bit of little space between you and Toronto.
Can we relax with this, please? Though it's May 11th. It's May 11th.
There's a big difference between 4 games and 6 games.
I get it.
I don't care what day it happens to be. That's a pretty big number.
It's a nice number. The Yankees are playing good baseball. When you win 14 of your last 16, that's pretty damn good.
That's really good.
Getting good pitching. Last night, again, and I like, see, I'm the kind of person, and I think this is why me and you both love Max Scherzer so much, is, and even Jake, because Jake's the same way, is that you're not going to always have your best stuff. There's going to be games when you struggle. But you know what? Suck it up, find a way to get out, and battle through it. And give your team a chance to pull one out. And
that's exactly what Severino gave you last night.
I love that. I love it.
I love it as well. Because what's the old adage? You're going to have like a 30-year games, you're going to be great. A 30-year games, you're going to not be very good. And a third of the games, you're going to be mediocre. So where do you go? Are you five runs in five innings or are you three runs in five innings? And Severino was not good early. Could have easily fallen apart. They call that a home run. They overturn it. He gets out of that jam and he cobbles together. It wasn't a great start. He didn't have his best stuff, but he kept them in the game. And then they come out with a victory.
Yeah, but 4 2/3, I mean, giving up three runs, giving your team a chance to fight their way back is better than, you know, all of a sudden Aaron Boone comes out and yanks you in the second inning.
Absolutely
now,
it is.
I mean, we're in the midst of 23 games and 22 nights where we're going to have to go into a bullpen. Like, that's the last thing you want to do.
And this is not an easy week, right? You go from Toronto to the White Sox.
Yeah, this is, you know what, this is, we'll see what happens here as we move along, but this is, this little rivalry now that's starting to build up here between the Yankees and Toronto, I like it.
I like it too, and it got a little chippy last night. And I think
because the umpire's an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, how do you throw out,
Garcia.
Was it Garcia, right?
Yeah, 0-1 count. He hits Donaldson, you're out.
He throws him out. And then the Yankees go high and tight, and nothing happens there. And then Montoya says something, and he gets thrown out. Did you see his reaction? He's like, I'm thrown. You're talking to me? I'm thrown out?
Well, yeah. Well, he should have been thrown out. I mean, for arguing Garcia being thrown out, he probably should have been thrown out. If you were going to throw him out, no one should have been thrown out. It was so sensitive.
You know what? Doesn't it feel like they don't know when or why or how to throw guys out or make warnings?
They have no idea.
They have no idea, right?
God forbid you have a subjective call, because they all of a sudden now it's like they have no idea what's going on. Torts the other day said the rules like that should be called the box of chocolates, because you never know what you're
going to get. You reach in and you have no idea what you're going to get?
No idea what you're going to get.
He's 100% right.
It's been bad, man, because, I mean, the officiating in the NHL playoffs has been suspect, too.
Well, I think Rangers fans would agree with you. Let's go to Tim in Toms River. Tim, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I think we can all agree that Judge is off to a great start to the year, and the Yankees fans are pretty split on Cashman. I was wondering what you think would happen to Cashman if they lose Judge in free agency.
What do you mean? What would happen to Cashman?
Nothing. It's not going to be.
How do you think Cashman gets up to replace?
It's not going to be up to Cashman whether or not they lose Aaron Judge. It's going to be up to ownership to decide how much money they want to spend on Aaron Judge.
How do you think he recovers from that?
How does he fill the spot?
Yeah.
I mean, you won't replace Judge with someone as good as Judge.
Well, no, but just everything that comes with Aaron Judge. You're not going to, I mean, that would be, you'd be hard pressed.
No,
you'd
miss him terribly.
Unless Juan Soto pushes his way out of Washington.
2 years early?
Which could happen. He looks miserable.
He does not look like he wants to be.
How about
there?
The rat running across the field? How gross is that?
Disgusting. Disgusting.
I came into the locker room at the Coliseum one time, and I made the mistake of leaving a protein bar in my stall.
I love the protein bar.
Yeah, so did the rat that ate it.
What, so you had a closed protein bar and the rat opened it and ate it? It
ripped through the wrapper and then took bites out of the protein bar.
It was in your locker?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So you go back in and you saw it happening, or you just knew?
No,
that
I left it. I left it there because, I mean, we have this protein bars in the locker room, right? So I think I must have ate one and then left the other one. And I'm like, I'll have this whenever. And then I came back the next day to get dressed and I put my laundry down and I looked over and the it was open and there was bites taken out of it.
Little baby bites.
Little RJ rat bites.
Why'd you do that?
Because you forced me to, because you said little baby bites. That's why, because you put it in my mind.
I didn't force you.
You wagon.
I mean, you so that's my fault?
Yes,
RJ, when you heard what he just did, did you think, boy, I set him up for that, or was that on his own?
It seemed like he found his way there.
Yeah. How dare you blame
me? All right, you guys, just all team up on Uncle Rick. That's it. Just all team up on Rick.
You love the blame game. Look at me. Look at me.
At least I don't quit the show three times a day.
I don't think you're being very nice to me.
And then I had a roach in my pad one time, too. That was gross.
Ew. Well, that was because the guy urinated on the pad. It was attractive.
No, these were Islander pads. That was Team USA pads. The guy did.
So you were like in nets and you felt a roach going.
No,
around
I
in
picked
your pad?
No, I picked the pad up to put it on, and a roach
ran out.
Yes.
Oh God. That's awful.
Oh,
how do you get up from that?
You don't. You don't.
You really don't. Oh, that's I didn't like hearing about that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We got the Rangers huge game on the table tonight, 6:30 on 98.7 ESPN. Yankees, probably most exciting win of the season against a team that you, if you don't hate them yet, and then you certainly dislike them. Mets with an excellent win, trailing 2-0. They rattle off 4 in a row. Bullpen sensational yet again. NBA we'll get into in a little bit. The Sixers they're frauds. They are absolute frauds. I heard people talking about yesterday. They're going to go in there. They're going to win this series. No Kyle Lowry. They laid a huge egg last night. Phoenix did what many people thought they would do. Go out there and just hammer Dallas last night. So there's a lot going on in the world of sports. 1-800-919-3776. We'll get to the Mets in a moment. Shooter Stanford. Good morning, Shooter. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. Always a pleasure.
Oh, there's Josh
crying in the background, as usual.
There's the screaming kid, Shooter. There he is.
I'm sorry. I'll be quick. Joey Gallo, $10 million pinch hitter now. What were the Yankee brass thinking? I had trust in them, and he clearly is not doing what he needs to do. And it's like the Yankees and Mets have switched places, right? The Mets get rid of a $45 million problem, and the Yankees have a $10 million pincher on the bench. Go, guys, go. Sorry.
Well, here's the thing, Rick. I mean, you're winning all these games. If you were losing games and it was taking up a spot and you couldn't win, I could understand it. But you're winning games, so why are we complaining now?
Because that's what people like to do, is complain. All right, Joey Gallo, listen, this is who Joey Gallo is. I mean, and last year at the deadline, you felt like the lineup was too right-hand dominant. So you went out and you got Gallo, and you got Anthony Rizzo. And Anthony Rizzo's been good. I mean, Anthony Rizzo got off to a good start last year, too, before he got the COVID. So you bring Rizzo back, and Joey Gallo was under team control, so you brought him back. And, I mean, he's still Joey Gallo.
Did you hear anybody, when they made the trade, complaining about acquiring Joey Gallo?
No, because no one really. How much attention were you paying to Joey Gallo?
I mean, it's not like this is brand new. He's been a 200 hitter who has tremendous power. He walks a lot and he plays a good left field. That's what he's been forever. So now that he is exactly what he's been, now you don't like it?
Joey Gallo has struck out 31 times in 71 at bats.
That's terrible.
That's not what you want.
No, and I did the research on my own too here. I have a great nugget for you. Are you ready?
Do you know? Don't even ask. You know I'm ready for nuggets.
I mean, this is like a Rick DiPietro kind of nugget where you bring this to the table and then people at the water cooler all day, they ooh and they, oh, did you hear what Rick said on the show? He has such good information. I got information. You've heard of Tim Anderson, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Have any idea how many errors Tim Anderson has on the season so far?
Quite a few, I believe.
He has nine. Nine errors.
I was going to say nine.
Well, he should have. Nine errors in, I believe, 24 games. Do you know how many errors the Yankees have as a team?
Six.
Seven.
Oh, so close.
No, it's not. But it's not about you. Not everything is about you. It's about the fact that Tim Anderson, on his own, has more errors than the Yankees.
Yeah. He's in one, struggling a little bit.
And the Yankees' defense has been superb.
Well, yeah, but I know people are frustrated to start the season with how, you know, the offseason went, and, you know, everyone was hoping to, you know, get Carlos Correa or Freddie Freeman or Matt Olson, whoever it ended up being, but you didn't. and they got off to a slow start. We're having a hard time hitting, which felt like a lot like last season. But, I mean, this, I give them credit. They're trying. They're stealing bases. The defense is better. And that's kind of what they told you. Like, you know, Kiner Falefa was brought here because, you know, he's a bat-the-ball guy, and he's going to play a good shortstop. Defensively, he's going to play a good shortstop. You know, Trevino and Higgy are going to be, I mean, offensively, yeah, it's not much. But, I mean, defensively, it's going to help the pitching staff. So we're going to save runs there. And then, you know, Donaldson hopefully at third base. Although, I mean, the way they're using Donaldson, it feels like they almost feel like, you know, LeMahieu's the better option there. Like, LeMahieu for me has to play every day. Has to play every day.
Yeah, he should be in the lineup every day.
Every single
day.
You
mentioned maybe you're getting old Gleyber Torres back the other day. It doesn't feel like it.
He gives you glimpses. Well, in big moments, he's come through.
Yes.
Right? I mean, in big moments, he's come through. But, yeah. See, that would be the guy. And I think we talked about this before the season started. And depending on how the starting pitching looked, would he be one of the guys that you would include in a deal to try to get some pitching?
You certainly could. So I don't even know that you need pitching at this very moment.
No.
Here's my question to you, and I think the answer might be yes, and I could be one of the people that has to. Do we need to apologize to Brian Cashman?
No, I don't think we need to apologize to Brian Cashman.
I mean, people were all over him of what an awful offseason he had and a terrible team he put together. I mean, playing some beautiful baseball right now.
They're playing good baseball. But again, I mean, Brian Cashman's moves, to me, and I have the ultimate respect for Brian Cashman, it said, okay, we believe that DJ LeMahieu, after the surgery, is going to get back to being DJ LeMahieu. Right? That, I mean, Gleyber Torres at second will be a better version of himself because he'll be more comfortable. You know, Anthony Rizzo was good to start, had the COVID, and then struggled a little bit. But we feel like, you know, defensively what he brings, leadership what he brings, left-handed bat. And yeah, you see how comfortable he is at Yankee Stadium. And then on top of that now, I mean, your fingers crossed for Yankees fans, the fact that Stanton can play right field. And he plays a pretty good right field.
He's fine.
It makes you fine. It does wonders for what you're able to do with that lineup when he plays right field.
And your pitching staff hides so many of the issues that you might have. Right? I mean, the starting pitching is terrific, and their bullpen is even better than the starting pitching right now.
Yeah. But those are some of the questions, though, coming in. Like, as good as Nasty Nestor was last season, is that sustainable? Like, was that an anomaly last year? And clearly it hasn't been.
Clearly not. Let's go to Gene in Fort Lee. Gene, good morning. You're on 98.7, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Uh-huh. Yep. Gene, you there? What happened to Gene?
Gene's phone. This is what happens. Cricket Wireless.
No, really?
My cell phone reception around here stinks, too.
So you have the similar situation to Gene?
Oh, it's the worst. I got to stand, like, right in a certain spot to get any reception.
You should get those like, extenders. Do you have those?
No. How about a cell phone tower somewhere in the area?
Oh, like, there's no tower in the area? Because, see, this is the thing. You live in this, I mean, this is a five-star area. And probably people don't want cell phone towers to be in the area. So now you don't get reception. You just outed yourself.
I didn't out myself. I don't understand why. Like, I don't care how much money you have. Like, don't people want to have cell phone reception?
No, they'd rather have a pristine, clean area.
The one issue, though, moving forward here with the Yankees, as good as the starting pitching has been, I would imagine, especially because you're hoping to make a long run here, and innings could eventually be a bit of an issue for them.
It's possible. They do use these guys a lot. But I was talking to Santiago before the show.
No, I'm saying, not the bullpen. They use the bullpen a lot. I'm saying starting pitching-wise. Like Nestor Cortez,
not getting enough out of them?
No, long term. Because, I mean, you can only, like, a guy's not going to go from 90 innings to 200 innings unless you want his arm to fall off. So Severino hasn't pitched in a couple years.
Correct.
So I don't know how many innings he's going to be able to, like, what they have him marked down is, like, this is how many innings we'd like to get out of him. Cortez only threw 93 last season. Tyone was at 144. Right? So, I mean, that could be as we get, you know, further along in the season.
Could be. I see they're bringing up Heal for later in the week.
I like him.
Yeah, he's good. He's showing he's a good pitcher. Let's go to Jimmy in Jersey City. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Dave and Rick. First time guy. I don't get to listen to you much because I get to hear you when you guys first come on my way home from work. But you guys are the Bonnie and Clyde, the Bronx Bombers, the peanut butter and jelly of the sports shows, morning shows, sports talk.
Oh, I like that.
Nice. I like the peanut butter and jelly of all those. I think that's a good. I love.
Now, Dave, I got to take you to task here. You said the Yankees stole one last night.
Right.
Now, Dave, I'm going to prove to see that when you steal one, that would have been like bases loaded, down four runs in the bottom of the ninth, and we were down four runs, and hitting that ball to the outfield, guy drops it, makes an error. We score three runs a tie, then we get an extra out because that should have been a third out. Then next
all right, we're splitting hairs here. I thought the Yankees didn't play a great game and were fortunate to win that game last night.
Your starting pitcher threw 65 pitches in the first two innings, almost got himself pulled. You're down three. You were no hit through five. Ninth inning, you're down two runs.
And he walks.
For some reason, Jordan Romano decides to walk Trevino for some reason, and then Aaron Judge is down 0-2 in the count. And somehow manages to hit a three-run home run.
What I don't understand, and I want to take a break, what I do not understand, though, to be honest with you, is why the phrase stealing a win is such a horror show. The Mets have stolen them this year. There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's kind of the sign of good teams.
The players will say it in the clubhouse or the locker room. Way to work, fellas. We stole that one tonight.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
All of a sudden, all this Jets pressure.
Well, for what reason? I don't understand.
I don't know.
We're in year two of the rebuild here. I don't know what we're trying to do.
Corey Davis.
You won four games. Come on.
Yeah, I don't understand. We never got into the James Bradberry release. So you think about this now for a second. We'll get back to the Yankees calls in a moment. You had to release an upper echelon cornerback who would help you tremendously in this Wink Martindale defense. Why? Because the prior regime was that bad at their jobs.
Yeah, Dave Gettleman is the gift that keeps on giving.
So he's gone.
No money.
He's gone, but let's make sure that we let him go out there with his family and his friends and give him a happy send-off when we are still struggling from the disaster that he was as the Giants GM.
Yes, that's correct.
They couldn't even trade Brad. They tried, and Ian Rappaport said they had multiple trade offers, but that they couldn't agree to a new deal with a new team, so they just had to release him.
Yeah, I mean, if you're James Bradberry, I mean, why would I want to get traded though anyway? Like, I want to have the opportunity. I get released. Now I'm a free agent. I can sign wherever I want.
Yeah. I just hope he doesn't go to the Eagles or the Cowboys.
I hope he goes to the Eagles or the Cowboys.
See, you know what? Oh, God, the pressure on the Jets this year is going to be magnificent. I can't wait. Why
James Bradberry had a hell of a year his first year here.
He was excellent. And year two, he was not. But you would, I mean, you have a Dory Jackson. And then the kid from LSU and Bradberry, you know, you have some pretty decent corners.
And look at your defensive line now too.
Should be excellent. But again, this is why people say you got to move past the prior regime. I can't because you're still covering up warts from that prior regime.
Well, because you're still feeling the effects of it.
I mean,
there's no reason why you should be as bad as the Giants have been and were last year, and
have no money?
Well, not enough money to function. Like, if we don't get rid of Bradberry, like, we don't have enough money
to sign our
draft picks. Like, if we need to make a move, they have $7 million. That was it?
Yep.
That's the amazing part. It's like, I mean, teams like that, they get...
With a quarterback on a rookie deal.
Yeah, that really is.
It's amazing. It is amazing to think of what they managed to do under the prior regime. But it does feel like they're in good footing right now at the moment. But it's going to take another year of clearing out some of the prior regime's messes before you're in better shape.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is like Joe Shane knows what he's getting himself into. I mean, this is supposed to be one of the premier jobs. I mean, it should be one of the premier jobs in the NFL.
But I think the Giants fan needs to understand that you're still rebuilding and you're not at the... Because I've heard a lot of with the Giants. They can look at the schedule. They can be a playoff team. It's hard to envision being a playoff team when you can't put together your best club because you're still putting Band-Aids on what was.
Depending on what happens with the quarterback. I mean, we're sitting here talking about Zach Wilson, but if for some reason, now it hasn't happened yet, I mean, for some reason, all of a sudden now the addition of Brian Daboll, right, that Daniel Jones finds a way to stay healthy and has a really good season... I mean, the AFC is not nearly as strong as the AFC. Maybe you win, you know, eight games.
So I saw this. I think the Giants have like the 30th easiest schedule in the NFL, and all four of the bottom teams are from the NFC East. because the division is just so bad. Jets were 17. But then I'm thinking about it. So, you know, you look at the Jets, and I think they were tied for 17. But that doesn't take into account that, Cleveland now has Deshaun Watson, or Denver now has Russell Wilson, or the Chargers, who should have been better than they were last year, look like they could be the best team in the AFC. Right? Like, all these things, you're like, oh, it's 17th. That's not that bad. But it might be worse than it appears on paper.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, all this is on paper. You don't know. I mean, did you think that the Jets last season were going to beat Cincinnati?
No.
No. I mean, so crazy stuff happens. It's also, I mean, on paper it all looks great, and then all of a sudden it depends on, you know, what week you're playing teams, who's hurt, who's in, who's out. I mean, there'll obviously be teams that you know, that struggle earlier whenever or underachieve.
Do you catch the Browns with Deshaun Watson, or do you get them without, you know, their star quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, Jacoby Brissett as opposed to Deshaun Watson is a big difference.
It's a huge difference. Now, you mentioned this earlier this morning. So you talked to your father-in-law yesterday, and he said your co-host is a raving lunatic, blah, 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 whatever, fine. And then he said the new app is sensational, didn't he?
Yeah, he said my mother-in-law actually said she can't get him off of it because it's that easy.
So he's just constantly on the app.
Yeah, he's got nothing going on. So he's like, you know what? See what's going on the radio. Boom, picks up the phone, presses one button, and he's on live.
So, and is it fair to say your father-in-law is not a technological genius?
Yeah, I don't even think my father-in-law cuts his own toenails. So, I mean, this is...
Who cuts his toenails?
I think my mother-in-law cuts his toenails. So,
see, what a marriage that is.
Oh, he's got... No one has it better than him. No one... If you could chew up his food and feed it to him, he would have you do it.
So he is taken care of beautifully.
Oh, he's like a veal.
Is it a bad thing to have someone else cut your toenails, though?
No, probably not. I mean, go get a pedicure, get your toenails cut. I prefer to cut my own, but...
So if Cassie said, listen, let me work on that ingrown right there.
I don't even mess around with ingrowns, man. I had one time. It was awful.
I had to go to a doctor once for ingrown.
Oh, dude, our trainer dug that thing out, and then had to put the
cotton
in
there. There is nothing worse than an ingrown toenail.
Oh, my God, it hurts so bad.
Oh, and the second they like pop it out of that corner, you're like, oh.
It feels so good.
So good. Anyhow, I don't know how we got off on this tangent. The new ESPN New York app. Have you downloaded it yet like the doc has? You can catch anything you miss here on this show. Anything you miss on the K show. Anything you miss on any show. You can catch all the podcasts, get all your favorite shows, and play-by-play simply by streaming it live. It's the all-new ESPN New York app, available now on the App Store and Google Play as well. All right, people are lined up, want to talk to us. Let's roll through. Let's go to Jason in Queens. Jason, good morning. Hey. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, gentlemen. Morning. Great to hear from you. Well, great to be on. Thank you for letting me on.
We appreciate the call, Jason.
Yeah, man, I was about the mess. I know usually they start hot and then, you know, start to waiver as the season goes on, but I have a good feeling this year we're going to do a lot of damage in the NL. But I watched that Yankee game last night. I think it's a steal win as well. But I'm thinking Aaron Judge will look real good in orange and blue next year. I think Uncle Steve should throw some money at him. What do you guys think?
I said that, and I forget who it was. If it was Buster, Rick, or some real MLB insider said that the Mets are not going to make a play for Aaron Judge.
I think it was Buster that said no.
But I would lose my mind over
Busters
that.
Busters all over the place.
Numerous Busters.
Ghostbuster only. No, I'm still holding out hopes that at some point here Juan Soto gets upset with Washington and we see him in
Well, I think he's upset. But the difference is he's got 2 years left. You're going to have to trade everything for Juan Soto.
Well, Juan Soto turned down $350 million.
So you're going to have to pay him $1 billion and you're going to have to trade all of your prospects. Whereas Aaron Judge, much more advanced age, but it would just be money.
Okay, but, I mean, you just said it. Much, much older.
Much older. And a much better chance you'd figure of breaking down.
How old do you think Juan Soto is?
24?
Not even.
Oh, my God.
He won't be 24 until end of October.
That's wild. So he's 23 years old. How about this? Another nugget.
This is like a 20-piece nugget right now.
I know. This is a lot. You get three dipping sauces with this. You probably know this because you probably saw the stats last night. 6 home runs so far for Juan Soto, right?
Yep.
You know how many RBIs he has?
I didn't see the stat, no.
Oh, good. Guess how many RBIs Juan Soto has. I told RJ before, it's jarring.
It's obviously a low number then.
What do you think?
Six home runs.
No one's going to judge you.
I'm going to say he's got nine RBIs.
Yeah, pretty good. Eight RBIs.
Yeah, that's not great.
That's some impressive work to have six home runs and eight RBIs.
Yeah, but you could just, I mean, you could see it on his face, man. I mean, the fact that Joely comes in and throws a pitch that's just not, there's nothing he's going to do with that pitch. He falls out on one pitch, and the look on his face is like this guy wants to be on a team that wins.
He's got to get out of there.
Like, he's already, like, everyone already realizes he's one of the best players in baseball. Like, I mean, showing up every day on a bad, like, baseball would be, I mean, can you imagine that every single day you show up?
Could you imagine if you had him in right field?
Oh, my God. Forget it.
Hitting second in that Mets lineup?
Could you imagine him at Yankee Stadium in right field?
No. If the Mets or Yankees get him, he will be the biggest star in baseball. Bigger than Mike Trout. I think bigger than Judge.
I don't know about that.
Well, I think it's right. He's right there.
I mean, yeah, it's right there. But I mean,
he's a better hitter.
Yeah, but the freak show quality of Judge is what makes him really special. I mean, the size. It's like you look at him, you're like, you can't believe how big he is.
But Soto is such a dynamic hitter. And he's 23.
Yeah, and he's got the personality. I mean, he definitely has the personality.
He sure does. I don't like that weird thing he does, though.
What's an intimidation thing?
It's a weird thing. Gene in Fort Lee. Good morning, Gene. Oh, you're back, Gene.
Yes, I'm back. I don't know what happened.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you for letting me back on, though.
Absolutely.
So I was saying before I had gotten cut off, I understand why you say the Yankees stole a win. I mean, I don't like it, but I guess I'm just being a Yankee fan. But
why, let me ask you this. Why do you not like it? Why is there – I don't say it with a negative connotation. Why do you hear Yankees stole a win and that bothers you?
Yeah, they're not going to take it away. Like, no, like if you say it, someone's not going to come. Major League Baseball is not going to come and take it away.
I guess the reasoning just for me why I don't like it is that when Judge went up, I just had all confidence that he was going to get the big hit to at least bring both of those runs in. I didn't know he was going to hit a walk off, but I just had confidence that the Yankees were going to come back. The pitcher was not looking good on the mound. He walked Savino, he walked DJ LeMahieu. I just felt like the Yankees knew they had that in the bag.
In the bag? All right. Well, listen, we agree to disagree then. I don't know what else.
But here's the thing, though. I get what you're saying. You can have all the confidence in the world that you want. If you take the game as the totality of the game is it starts with Severino throwing 65 pitches in the first two innings.
Hits a home run.
Almost gets himself pulled, has to tell Aaron Boone to stay in the dugout, finds his way through that. You're down 3-0. You haven't got five hitless innings. You finally break through. And then, of all things, your bullpen gives up a couple. It's Loaisiga and Green that give up a couple runs. And now we're in the ninth, down two runs, and Aaron Judge is down 0-2. The players would admit, hey, we got away with one here. We stole this one.
But why have so many people jumped on that phrase today? I actually think it's kind of a good thing that you could not play a great game and still manage your way to a victory.
They all count the same, man. They all count the same.
I don't get it. Vinny in the Bronx. Good morning, Vin. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How's it going?
It's going well. Are you going to complain that the Yankees stole the win last night?
No, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to compliment the Yankees right now.
Well, let's hear it. Let's compliment them.
So basically, I think obviously a lot of things have gone right for us to get off to the start, but two things that I think are not talked about enough. Number one is Giancarlo Stanton playing in the outfield. Just him physically not clogging up the DH has made our lineup so deep and allows us to do this, you know, merry-go-round of who's going to get the half day off today by DH in, lengthens our lineup, and I think, and guess what? He actually plays a pretty good right field. And I don't know if you noticed too, I feel like he is more engaged as a hitter. He's a better hitter when he gets out to the outfield a couple times a week. So I think, number one, that's been a huge help for us. And number two is our starting pitching staff. No one even heard of this pitching coach, Matt Blake, before this year. No one. Definitely no one. And now all of a sudden, every Yankee pitcher is throwing a cutter. We're changing our repertoire. We got the best ERA in baseball for our starting staff. It's basically the same staff as last year. And I think combining those two things, offensively and pitching staff, I think those are two of the things that haven't been talked about enough that, you know, really is responsible for the start that we're off to. Thanks, guys.
I think the one thing he brings up, and thanks for the call, Vin, is that Matt Blake deserves a lot of credit because this Yankees pitching staff from top to bottom has been just sensational.
And they've done a really good job. But let's not forget, too, I mean, last year it wasn't necessarily the pitching that let them down. It was the hitting.
Yes, in the big spots.
So, I mean, it doesn't matter how you phrase it, whatever you want to say about it. The reality is the Yankees are playing good baseball, and they've won 14 of the last 16 games.
And you should be excited by it.
And you should be excited about
we'll
it.
We'll leave it at that. Lonnie, oh, our boy, our guy, captain of the company, Lonnie, the great Lonnie in Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie.
I'm good morning, family. I'm your boy. I'm your guy. But yeah, you have me on hold for days, Dave. Thanks. I'm over
That's
here
Dave,
risking
Lonnie.
My job.
Lonnie, I don't have control,
I know,
so you know.
Uncle Rico. Rico
oh, no. God forbid Rick get blamed for anything.
Love
I mean,
you,
I just give you this. You know what, Lonnie? Here's what I don't understand. I give you this big greeting. We're thrilled to have you, captain of the company, our guy, and you can't even take the compliment nicely.
I can't take the compliment nicely because I'm over here risking my job on hold for days trying to get on, you know, just to speak my mind to you guys, you know? Dave, you got to stop doing that to me, but whatever. First of all, James, shout out to you because you called at 7:45 at the time I actually got on. Listen, the Yankees are doing good. I actually called in to talk more Yankees, but I'm just going to really call in and say thank you for, you know, for all the talk that you guys do for us about the whole company and things like that. Dave, if you need Nick handle, we can do that for you. Not a problem. Whoever comes at you guys, we're here for you. Just know that. Rick, you know I love you. The Saki comment yesterday was hilarious. We made a drop for that. First of all, RJ, thank you. And I feel like RJ has to do apologizing for you, Dave, because he basically had to apologize for you just now, saying, you know, I'm sorry for, you know, having you on hold and things of that nature. But
yeah, RJ consistently apologizes for me.
We
I'm
love
terrible.
You guys. And listen, like you said earlier, Dave, we need baseball to be this good because the Jets and the Giants, Jesus, god-awful football. And like you said earlier, they should have gave Dave Gettleman a garbage bag, a garbage whatever, and told him to take himself out. He should not have got what he got because it's a dreadful – the Giants are in dread because of what he did. Like,
because
now
him.
We got to release James Bradbury, the line, no hog mollies from what he said. Listen.
Lonnie, I appreciate the call. He stunk. He will – I mean, when you think of the awful GMs in New York sports history, he is right there. He did an egregious, awful, horrible job. Let's go to Jay in the car. Good morning, Jay. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. I just want to also tack on to that. Sorry, I had a mango in my mouth. the GMs in New York are looking much better. Rangers, Jets, Mets. But I want to talk mostly about the Mets bullpen. I am scared beyond belief once we go past Shreve, Diaz and Smith right now.
And Lugo. Lugo's been better.
Lugo has been better, yes. But I was like elated when May goes away, Reed Nifoli goes away for a little while. But I want Stevie Cohen to do something sooner, and I'm not sure when he's going to do it and what direction he's going to go. But that is the main thing that I think the Mets need to continue to tack on these wins and really separate themselves from this really tough division. So I'm curious, when do you think he's going to do it and how big is he going to go? Also, I want to plug in on the app as well. It's fantastic. Love listening to it after the fact because unfortunately I'm not up at 5 a.m, but I love hearing you guys and listening to the show every day. So I get to listen to it after the fact. My wife even gave me the backhanded comment of, what are you listening to this
Oh, come
weekend?
On, Jay. We know. Well, and listen, we got to run, so we appreciate that. I don't know when they make the move for the bullpen, Rick, but I guarantee you they bring in extra arms for the bullpen
they have
by
to.
The deadline.
Well, they'll do it when they have to.
I guarantee you. I'm not at all nervous because they're now in capable hands, and they have a lot of money to spend. All right, Santi, it's your time.
Today's three stars. Number three.
All right. Well, Rick, I apologize, but we're going to start with you saving the read.
Hey, it's Rick DiPietro.
Listen, I do it to Dave all the time. You got to get one, too.
Get away with anything around here. Nothing.
Well, listen, if we kill Dave all the time, it's only fair that once in a while we
Oh, he's complaining about Gettleman. How do I feel? I got to look at Gettleman every morning for 3 hours.
I hope you stub your toe so bad tonight.
Man, see,
in the middle of the night, 2:15 in the morning, you wake up and you smash that big toe right on the counter.
Then it gets nasty.
Number two.
How would I smash my toe on the? What am I walking on the counter?
It happens. It's dark. You go, there's a mouse there. You freak out, stub your toe.
Dave shows off his singing abilities a lot on this show. Somebody else wanted to get in on it.
Baby bottle pop, baby bottle pop. Baby bottle pop, baby bottle pop.
You can lick it, shake it again. I look forward to hearing more from Anthony as a
nice voice. He feels like he can get right up there. He feels like he's got a nice range.
He could join a boy band, I think.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Number one.
Balls drop.
Dave, I agree with you as a Yankee fan. The Yankees did steal one last night. But congratulations to Aaron Judge on his first walk-off home run. It's hard to believe, but that is actually what happened. A Judgian blast, if you will. Congratulations to the Yankees.
Oh, very, very well done. Very well done from Raymond. All right, let's bring in Key. I don't want to say his full name because he yells at me. I don't pronounce it correctly. So we'll bring in Key. One third of KJM comes your way in just minutes here on 98.7 ESPN. Key,
more
Zach
than one
Wilson.
Third. Full, Keyshawn.
Full. One third of the show, though. That's not accurate, is it?
That's pretty accurate.
Well, Keyshawn, yeah. I mean, Keyshawn is the show, though. Come on, Dave. Have some respect.
Yeah, well, Dave.
I apologize, Key. He doesn't get it.
I get nothing. Key, I'm sorry. I get nothing. All right, so give us your take. You are high or you're not high on Zach Wilson for this coming season?
I'm not high. I'm watching. I want to see. I want to see what I'm getting, right? I want to see the throw of the combine, the throw of the pro day. I want to see it. I don't want to see one or two games and, oh, my God, you see him make the crossbody throw. Only one guy in NFL history has ever done. I don't want to hear that. Yet they've built a young team around you. Now, let's go. Let me see some stuff.
Key, why is Dan Orlovsky doing this to me, though? Why are we just all of a sudden now? We're in year two of this rebuild. Zach Wilson's still, like you said, we're still watching. We're trying to figure out if he can play, if Robert Saleh can coach. Why are we now putting expectations on this team that we're going to mention them in the same conversation as Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City in year two? Why are we doing this?
Have you met Dan Orlovsky? I mean, this is what Dan does. And you get all hyped and everything, and then in the end, you're disappointed. I would be very cautious with getting overhyped about the Jets in the same breath in fighting the Bills for the division and the New England Patriots for the division. They've done a great job moving forward for the future, but not right now. Not right now. Look, there's three things on this team that we don't know about. We don't know about the head coach. We really don't know about the offensive coordinator, and we don't know about the quarterback. Those are the three things that stand out to me about this football team.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of questions. Now, I think they've made big strides, but I think you're right. A lot of questions. All right, Key, so I don't want to rush you. I want to give you plenty of space to roam here. Show comes our way in just minutes here on 98.7 ESPN. What's happening today on the big program?
Well, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. But look, let me ask you guys this. The Jets and his Jets and Giants fans, so to speak, are you guys like, going to get tired of watching Terrific Tom on television now, and he's going to get this $375 million deal over 10 years. Is it going to be too much Tom for you guys?
I'm a Giants fan. I don't have this dislike for him. I don't really care. It seems like to me.
Well, you
like,
beat him twice in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So I guess that.
Right, exactly. But I don't understand. Like players don't get that kind of money. We're giving Tom Brady $37.5 million a year to. We don't even know if he's good to announce games.
Well, I mean, I'm not giving it to him. It's not my network. I mean, it fits right up his alley, though, right? He's handsome looking. He's won Super Bowls. I mean, you guys would be the ones that I think that he would annoy the most.
He's growing more hair every single time I see him. It's amazing. Never seen anything like this. Key, you better pick up the phone and call Jim right now and renegotiate your deal if Tom Brady's making $375
million. Yeah, I'm okay. I can't count somebody else's money like that.
Get Jim to work.
Yeah, I'm happy.
I just can't believe, Key, I was just surprised, and this is the last thing I'll say, I was just surprised that Tom would commit to 10 years of doing TV after retiring for 40 days. I didn't think that was something that he was interested
in. If somebody gave you $375 million, you'd commit to 10 years, too.
You make a great point.
It's a lot of money.
You make a great point.
More money, Key, in that deal than he'll make his entire tenure in the NFL. All right, bud. We got to run. You got to run. We'll talk to you soon. Great show today.
All right.
All right. Appreciate it. That, of course, is Keyshawn Johnson. For us, it's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPHO Rothenberg. And
hopefully not for the final time. Let's go, Rangers.
Oh, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.